Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome to this Monday Postcast. I'm Maddie Plough. I'm joined by Nick Watts, who's back in the studio, and we've also got Brendan Duke. Brendan, not seen you for a while. How are things?
Well as can be expected, Maddie. I've been living like a Spaniard for the last 2 months, and Tiger didn't win the Open, so it's not great, but we must forge on.
We must. Good weekend?
Yeah, it was very good. It was very varied. The sport coming out of your ears at the moment, isn't it? As Brendan said, you know, we just had the Open, we've got the Tour de France, we've got jump racing, flat racing, good Irish racing. It's just everywhere at the moment. It's great sporting summer.
Plenty to enjoy, whatever you fancy. We'll crack on with the review then and start with the Darley Irish Oaks 1 in pretty awesome style by Sea of Class. What was your initial reaction from that win, Watsy?
Yeah, I thought she was quite good. I mean, you know, you could downplay it if you like, and, you know, the proximity of some of the others maybe, and Forever Together, who looked very good at Epsom, you thought she might have gone on, but she hasn't particularly. Then Magic Wonder, of course, came and won at Ascot, looked really good. You think she might have gone on, but, you know, again, she was a bit disappointing. But I wouldn't take anything away from Sea of Class. You know, she only made her debut in April, and she got beaten then in a maiden, so to go from that to this in that short space of time, I think speaks volumes for her, you know, and, you know, she's made really good progression. So I would look upon it favourably. You know, like I said, you could take the opposite view and be negative about it, but I think from where the horse has come from, she's done well, and, you know, she's had a quiet campaign so far. This was her first kind of big test. She passed it with distinction, and you'd think there'd be more to come in the latter half of the campaign. And interestingly, and I always take this as a positive, Connections are talking her up as well. You know, they're mentioning the Ark and races like that. The owner, obviously, owns See the Stars, Dam of the Filly as well, Sire of the Filly, what am I talking about, as well. So, yeah, it's good that they're talking her up as well.
Now, Brendan, after the race, I got loads of stick, as I invariably do on social media, for saying that I think it was a great performance, a wonderful, wonderful ride, but I'm just not sure that the three-year-old middle-distance fillies are all that, based on, you know, Urban Fox beat Together Forever, Forever Together. How many times will we do that over the course of this postcast? Etc. What do you make of the bunch as a whole?
Yeah, no, I think it's a legitimate point. I think you could throw the three-year-old colts in there as well, outside of Alpha. I haven't been particularly impressed with any three-year-olds this term, so I wouldn't disagree.
And what do you make of Sea of Class? I mean, she could go to the Yorkshire Oaks potentially next before the Ark. Nick mentioned that could be some race if she turns up with Lawrens and co in at York.
Yes, it'll be very interesting to see how she backs up, won't it? I think there are worrying signs. It was a very impressive performance because it's been hard to make up ground all season at the Curra. But whether it was a brilliant ride or not, he didn't hit her with the stick, but maybe that's because she flashed her tail the last day. Haggis made a point in the post-race interview saying he told James Doyle to be brave. And maybe she just has a little bit about her, and that's the first time she's really had to go deep into the hurt locker. I'd be interested to see how she backs up. I'd say she's tricky. I think the reason he didn't pick up the stick was not because he knew he was definitely getting there, but because he was told not to.
That's interesting. I did speak to him before the race, actually. I said, you know, she has a history of flashing her tail. Do you see that as a worry? And he played it down. He said, no, she doesn't stop when she does it. It's just one of her quirks, perhaps. What price is she for the Ark? You're our odds guru for today.
Oh, yes, indeed. Back to my roots. She is currently 16-1 for the Ark. Needs to be supplemented.
Watsy, what do you make of that? Would you be taking the 16s?
I don't know. I'd have to have a good think about it. I mean, I have, like I said, viewed the performance positively. There's still a little bit of a way to go. The Ark is a bit of a muddied picture for me at the moment, so I'd rather leave the race alone as a whole. But, you know, I'm just encouraged that Connections are even mentioning her in that kind of breath. And you know, so I think, you know, we should take positives from that. And she could well make it. She's obviously a late developer, only recently got to the track and obviously making big strides. So I think her next run will tell us a lot more.
Indeed. Two returning fillies that showed really smart form last year were Magical and September. Brendan, any strong thoughts on the performance of Magical? Obviously, September, it was a bit of a race course gallop for her.
Yes, it was. She was very weak in the betting. As has been mentioned numerous times, she hasn't got a lot of scope. So it'd be interesting to see how she goes forward. Magical, that's certainly. She's an imposing specimen. And I thought she did it very well. So plenty of options open for her later in the year.
And where would you go with her?
Well, I'd be thinking about the Nassau. Unless they think the backup is too quick. If they, like, Aidan loves running horses. Is she in the Nassau? I didn't check that, actually.
I think she might be.
As well as that, he loves running horses, he loves entering horses more, so she's bound to be in everything. So the Nassau would be an option. I suppose the Yorkshire Oaks is an option as well. One of those two, I'd imagine.
So, what was your thoughts on Magical's win?
Well, I think she's quite an important filly for Aidan O'Brien now, because he's kind of had two stabs at conquering the division this season already with Forever Together. And, you know, yeah, she won at Epsom, but like I said, been disappointing since. Magic won, disappointing at the weekend too. So Magical's now come back into the frame. She's had a bit of time off through, I think she had a minor niggle, so she missed Epsom and the like. So she comes into the kind of middle, second half of the campaign quite fresh. Very good form as a two-year-old. So she could yet be the one from the O'Brien camp that comes to the fore and proves herself at the top level. He'll be hoping that she does, because the other two should seem to have been, you know, they seem to be flatlining slightly. So it's good that he's got Magical, you know, kind of in there now in the frame to come forward and contest these big races in the second half.
Indeed, we mentioned Sea of Class and James Doyle, of course, he had an absolutely fabulous day at the Curragh on Saturday, winning the three sort of big races. One of those was the Anglesey Stakes that Maria's Diamond won. Brendan, what were your thoughts on Maria's Diamond? Because he's going to come back to Ireland, isn't he?
Yes, the owners apparently have targeted certain races in Ireland that they think there's some juice, and one of them was the race last weekend, and the National Stakes is another one. Yeah, it was a good, tough performance. He's a typical hardy Mark Johnson horse, and I think ultimately that won him the race. I thought if they met again, I'd fancy Via Dera to turn the tables. She got slightly upset in the stalls, and she missed the break, and then she... They went a ferocious gallop there, and she had to make a move between the three and the one to get upside Maria's Diamond, possibly even ahead of them. Mm-hmm. But it all took its toll. And those Johnson horses, they're tough nuts anyway. And when they have an experience edge on you,
yeah.
I think it will certainly stand to Via Dera. And she's a good filly, but I don't think it's the strongest form in the world.
Okay. What about you? What do you think is very strong form?
I'd completely echo what Brendan's just said. I think Marie's Diamond, six runs, Via Dera coming into the race just on one, and I think that's massive when you're a two-year-old. Via Dera's got, you know, plenty to learn, put in at the deep end slightly, you know, sink or swim, and she did very, very well to get close. Maria's Diamond might not be the best juvenile around, the horse is very tough. It's a typical Mark Johnson juvenile, six runs, you know, hasn't been spared at all, keeps coming to the fore. So for a once-raced horse to come in and try and best Maria's Diamond, it was never going to be easy. So I think Via Dera emerges with huge credit from the race.
OK. And Brendan, a word on Larchmont Lad. He's always been a pretty uncomplicated horse, but it was good to see him get his head back in front in quite a big race again.
Yes, it's certainly it was an abysmal heat for a group two, so it was nice to pick it up. And again, getting on the pace in the Curragh is no harm, so to have a straightforward horse like that, he won. The second's a very hard horse to win with. It would take an exceptional ride to get him home. And Larchmont was a tough nut, so a good bit of placing there from O'Mara.
And do you have any ideas where they might go next with him?
Well, he's kind of stuck in that group three listed bracket, isn't he? I mean, to pick up a group two was just, it was just a piece of work to pick up that race. So I don't know. There'll be races at Haydock and the like. The races that he always runs, he is what he is, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah. I'm sure there's plenty that we could have learnt from Stratham's JLT Cup win, a new race this. And Tom Siegel gave it a very good talking up last week. He's now, I believe, favourite for the Ebor. This horse, very, very impressive in what looked a really deep handicap. Brendan, what's the outlook on the Ebor for this Stratham?
Well, very positive. 5-1 Fav, Paddy Power make him. And you couldn't but be impressed. He travelled away. It was just, it looked a competitive handicap beforehand, but a triumph for the horse and a triumph for market efficiency. The Lizard obviously got involved and they bet him off the boards and he just bolted up. It was really impressive.
Yeah, he wears a hood and he has been quite keen. He was quite keen at Royal Ascot. What's he? Do you see that as he's something he's totally overcome now, or would you have any worries about him going forward?
Not really. Not the way he won at the weekend. No. You can't pick holes in the performance, really. It was a competitive race, going into it. A really good addition to that Newbury Saturday card, actually, by the way. Mm-hmm. It was the first running of it and attracted a really, really good field. And he's put them to the sword. I thought the Ascot race that he ran in last time, Mullins ran a few interesting horses in that, like Chelcar, for example, who's another one whose name might come back in the latter half of the campaign. But Stratton building on the positive show there and all options open to him latter half of the season. Interesting, of course, he's got Withhold in the same ownership as well. Mm. So Tony Bloom sitting very nicely.
Yeah, and a Melbourne Cup is a race that you really like. Who's on your radar for that at the minute?
Well, I think we just talked about, Withhold. It's a slightly obvious one for everybody, seeing what it did at Newcastle last time out. But, I wasn't expecting him to win quite like that, really, to be honest. But he was just backing up what he showed in the Cesarewitch last season. He's obviously a very good horse, I think. Surely contesting group races going forward domestically. But I think in Australia, at the back end of the year, he'd certainly be top of my list, I think.
And Brendan, there's been lots of chat about the amount of British and Irish horses that are going to be going over to Melbourne this year. Would Stratton be at the top of your list?
No, I think Withhold would. I'd agree with Nick. And the advantage he has, it's never the worst policy to be on the pace over there because of the way they run their races. They tend to run them in the French style. So the fact that he can travel on the pace and he does seem to be a stayer with a turn of foot, He'd probably be the one I'd favour. But Stratton is 40-1. He has a lot of ability. Again, with these horses, I'm never sure. It's easier to get into the Melbourne Cup if you've run in a group race. I think the handicapper over there seems to take great notice of that. So I don't know what the situation is, all these British and Irish horses getting in. Mm-hmm. But certainly, if he got in, 40-1 looks a big prize. He's a very talented horse.
Mm. Moving on, the Hackwood Stakes looked a really competitive and quite a tricky renewal to sort out beforehand. And so it proved with Yafta beating Projection. What's the immediate thoughts from that race? It was a bit of a muddling affair, wasn't it?
Yeah, Yafta's a really likeable horse. I think if you look through the form figures, he's tremendously consistent and pulled it out again. I thought Projection was going to come and win, but Yafta's really stuck his head out. The one thing I kind of took out from the race was, it's kind of a negative in a way, but how disappointing Equilateral was. I mean, he was the name on a lot of people's lips going into Ascot for the Commonwealth Cup. And the form of his win earlier in the season, I think it was at Doncaster, he beat the Foxtrot Lady. Obviously, looks fantastic now. But the wheels slightly came off at Ascot. This was a bit of a retrieval mission. And, I watched that race. And
Charlie Hills isn't in the best of form.
He's not, and the horse never quite looked on it to me. He was kind of over racing a little bit in the first half of the race, and I thought, he's doing a bit too much. He's going to struggle to get home, and he did. And he finished down the field. Connections have got real conundrum on their hands now. It's two disappointing races in a row, kind of drowning out what he did earlier in the season. And he's kind of in a bit of a no man's land at the moment, but hats off to Yafta. He's proving a real money spinner and a real. I think he's the kind of horse that punters love because you know what you're going to get with him, and he always gives his best.
Brendan, do you think any of these could potentially step up again and be a threat to the proper big sprinters?
Not particularly. I'd love to see Yafta and Larchmont Lad get it on over 7 furlongs in a Group 3. That'd really get the juices flowing, wouldn't it?
Okay, we'll move on now to the Super Sprint, which is always an impossible race to fathom. But it was won by Richard Hannon, who's had plenty of luck in the race in past years with Gingernut. Moo Jim ran a game race and Kinks, who I thought was a real eye-catcher, in third. What's he, anything from behind, or indeed was the winner particularly eye-catching for you?
No, not really. The Super Sprint is one of the... I do like the race and I like the concept of it. I think in form terms, it doesn't always mean a huge amount. Mm-hmm. Richard Hannon, obviously, before him, his father, got a fantastic record in the race. They normally have a block entry. Gingernut probably wasn't the most obvious of ones before, going into it. But stuck the old head out nicely and got the job done. again, what it means for the future, I wouldn't be too sure about, you know, a lot of these. I'm sure there's going to be some future winners amongst them, but not the top level kind of thing, you know. So hats off to Connections, as for meaning or future relevance to group races, I'm not sure there's a huge amount.
Yeah, it's a fun race though, Brendan, isn't it? And it gives sometimes smaller owners to have their day in the sun, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, and I mean, serious prize money for the level you're buying at. I mean, I have a friend, and I think 10 of them bought a horse called Buckingham for 12 grand. And he's already won a good race in Chelmsford. Had a great spin at him. Actually, he had a desperate trip. He got interfered with at the start, and he was just coming with his run. He got interfered with about a furlong and a half down. I don't think he'd have won or anything, but you could certainly mark up his effort. But I have to say, I only watched the race once, Maddie, so, and I was only really watching one horse. So.
Okay, Kink's the eye catch for me, as I mentioned. We'll move on now. We'll see, something you might be a bit more keen to talk about was the jumps action at Market Race, and we have the Summer Plate won by More Bucks. The Bowens are such a force to be reckoned with at the moment, and what he does with horses he gets from other trainers, Peter Bowen, it really is remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's extraordinary, and he's a real good... He's a funny trainer, Peter Bowen, in that he can be completely out of form, but when he's hot, he's really, really hot, and he's often hot this time of year. You know, you think he's had winners of this race on many occasions in the past, the Utoxeter, the Summer National Race there, you know, Aintree, he's won the Topham Trophy 3 years in a row with the same horse. You know, spring/summer, Peter Bowen is often when he marshals his troops and wins these big races. I thought it was a fantastic race. I think it's great that they're keeping this, you know, summer jumping on the road with the drought we've had. And it looked a decent surface at Market Raisin, and, you know, they've done a great job there. And it was a good race. It was a competitive race. And I was watching Shantou Village, particularly, because he's a horse with a lot of back class who's kind of slid down the weights a lot. Quietly fancied by a few. I know Paul Keeley fancied him quite strongly, and he showed a big step in the right direction there. He's off not a bad handicap mark now, so it'd be interesting to see if he's kind of reached his nadir and he's kind of coming back and going forward again, because he did, you know, in the kind of traditional National Hunt part of the season, he did used to be a real force. So a positive from him, great racing, great finish as well, and just goes to, you know, sometimes you just keep it simple. Peter Bowen, Summer Plate, and you've got the winner. You know, you don't need to do... Tom was going on last week about maybe overthinking things and looking for things that aren't there. Well, you know, you don't get much better system in racing than that. Peter Bowen, Market Raisin, Summer Plate.
It was a bittersweet win, though, for them, of course, because they did lose Wadswick Court. So our thoughts are with his connections. Very sad, and thankfully James Bowen's okay. But a word on Sean, because there's a lot of buzz about him being the next AP at the minute, I find, and he really is doing well, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Sean Bowen, he's been a good jockey for a long time now. Just a par, he won the Whitbread on a couple of seasons ago in a tight finish, and, you know, he's used by all the right people, so he must be doing something right. He might have to look over his shoulder for the dangers, because his brother James, of course, as well, you know, obviously a fantastic prospect too. So, yeah, Peter Bowen, great trainer, and he's bred a couple of very, very, you know, promising young jockeys too.
He has indeed. That wraps up our review from the weekend. We'll get on to talking about the King George just after this.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. As promised, we're going to start previewing the King George now. Watsy, it's a bit of a muddling race, but it should be a competitive affair if they all stand their ground. And news this morning breaking that William Buick was going to ride Crystal Ocean.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. I think you might be on the winner there, actually. He's had a funny season in some ways, Crystal Ocean, because obviously, you know, he's won all three races, but he's not been particularly stretched, or he's not been doing it in particularly good fields. I mean, the Hardwick last time out, I didn't think was competitive at all, but he did it very, very nicely. And obviously, you go back to last season when he was kind of the shell of a horse he is now. Stouty wouldn't run him in the Derby at the time because he thought he needed a bit extra. Did very well in the autumn. And you just know with Stout that, you know, as a four-year-old, he was going to improve. And, you know, on the one hand, yeah, I am saying that, you know, the races he's been winning haven't been the best, but I think Stout's done a great job of kind of getting his confidence sky high and giving him his first test. He's kind of arriving at this race without really knowing he's had a race this season, so I think he'd be, you know, fresh and ready, and I think he's got the class to do it. Like you said, it's an interesting race, but he would be, I think, at the top of my list at the moment. I think Kew Gardens is in the race. He's been a bit of a... He's a bit of a conundrum horse for me. Mm-hmm. You know, he disappointed in the Derby. He was only placed in a Lingfield Derby trial before that. He won the Queen's Vase over 2 miles. Can he now be top class and win an all-aged race at a mile and a half? I'm not quite sure. I know he's in the form of his life, but I think I'd side with the older horse here over the classic generation.
It's interesting because you and Tom Siegel have had quite a few set twos over the past week. First with US Navy Flag, which you won, I'm giving you that point. And then Tom's not a big fan of Crystal Ocean, and you're siding with Crystal Ocean here and not giving a chance to Kew Gardens. So I'm liking this sort of ping pong of who's going to win. But we'll be very interested to see how Kew Gardens goes. Brendan, Crystal Ocean, is he a strong favourite in your eyes?
No, I'm inclined to agree with Paddy Power, but I'm delighted to see when you look at the anti-post book, Paddy Power actually make Poets Worth slight fav 7-4 against Crystal Ocean 2-1. But if other firms make Crystal Ocean 7-4 and you can get as big as 5-2 Poets Worth, I would just about lean to Paddy's way of thinking. His form is stronger. Now, Nick makes a fair point about Crystal Ocean. He basically, when you take away Frage into account, I don't think he's repeated his second in the St. Ledger last year so far this year. But logically, he has to have it in him because he's only had 9 runs. So I could definitely see Crystal Ocean stepping forward. But you just see Poet's Word, all right, Cracksman may have issues at the moment, but he still put 10 lengths into Cliffs of Moher, who's backed up with 2 good runs since. Mm-hmm. Crystal Ocean didn't beat him as far into Hardwick. He was only beaten 3 lengths in the Eclipse. So it's very strong form with Poet's Word. I don't worry about the trip that much for him. He was fine in Goodwood last year. I thought he was fine in Dubai when he was possibly a little undercooked. I think he'll stay. I think on what he's achieved, he's entitled to just be fav, and Paddy Power agrees. So I'd say Poet's Word very marginally.
And it's not a 2-horse race. How do they price up the rest of the runners?
Oh, no, indeed not. Kew Gardens 6-1. Cracksman won't run 8-1. Ballgeist 9-1. Coronet, solid citizen, 10-1. Rostropovich 16-1. And a pony bar.
I like that. Ballgeist and Coronet, they did battle last time in France. Who would you have coming out on top here?
I thought Coronet probably should have won. Didn't seem, just probably could have got a slightly more forceful ride, whether the jockey always thought he was getting there or what have you. But 9-1 and 10-1, it's a classic match bet. I'm sure someone will be offering that in the day. People have different opinions. I would just say Coronet on home turf as well.
Okay. Any thoughts on the French form, Watsy?
No, I'd have this down, you know, between Poet's Word and Crystal Ocean. And
so you would have it as a 2-horse race?
Yeah, I struggle to see, you know, Kew Gardens 3rd in at 6-1. Might be interesting for a few people, you know, the Each Way Thieves, etc. But I think he's got a long way to go to, you know, I don't think he was anywhere near the top of Aidan's pecking order going into the Derby. I struggle to see that he's kind of metamorphosised into a middle distance great in quite a short space of time. So I'd expect, you know, Crystal Ocean and Poets Word to have it to themselves, really.
Okay, and plenty of these are going to hope to end up in the arc at the end of the season. Brendan, can you give us a full roll call on the arc betting?
We'll go to the arc, which is at Paris Longchamp on the 7th of October, right? Enable 9-2 Fav, 6-1 Cracksman, 10-1 Crystal Ocean, 12-1 Poets Word, 14-1 Study of Man, 16-1 Waldgeist, Latrobe, Roaring Lion, Sea of Glass, 20-1 Saxon Warrior, and Latidar, also Capri, Kew Gardens, and a pony bar.
Excellent, Brendan. So what's your overview of the arc at this stage? Do you think Poet's Word could win the King George on the way to going and winning in France?
I think he's the one I'd go for at the moment. He's such a solid horse, and I don't think the ground is massively important to him. I think he can cope no matter what the ground does. And you just look at the front end. I mean, we haven't seen an Abel. Hopefully we will. Cracksman has other things on his mind. Hopefully they can sweeten him up. But there's a lot of hope involved there. Crystal Ocean 10-1. I think if you fancy Crystal Ocean or Poet's Word for the King George, now is the time to back them for the ARC at either 10s or 12s.
Okay, some solid advice. Who's on your ARC radar at this stage, Watsy?
I wish we could get a slightly bigger price about Cracksman, because, I mean, it's, what was he, 6-1, I think Brendan mentioned, is still on the short side, but I don't think we've seen the last of him in terms of winning Group 1s. Yeah, he's had a bad summer, a difficult summer. You know, Gosden suggested his mind is on other matters and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure I'll buy into that completely. I thought he did well to win at Epsom, bearing in mind he hates the track and all, you know, said it before and all that kind of stuff. So he's pulled one out the fire there. I'm not sure he's madly in love with real hot, baking summer ground like we're getting at the moment. I think, you know, when he won at Ascot at the back end last season in the Champion, there's a bit of digging the ground there. And I think that autumnal kind of surface, you know, just... with the heat taken out of it, with a bit of rain around, maybe good to soft, something like that. I think just a bit more forgiving surface will allow him to travel easier, get into the race. And I think he's just been on his head, hasn't he, the last couple of races.
He was so impressive earlier on in the season in France. French, their ground often tends to be that little bit softer. Perhaps that offers an explanation.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think you become a bad horse after one display, where, you know, you still ran on well, and what is it, you finished second in the end, although well beaten. But... yeah, you know, I'm always forgiving of horses because they're not machines, and, you know, like us, they wake up and, you know, maybe don't fancy it one day or something's not quite right. But, you know, I certainly wouldn't give up on him. I'd just like a bit bigger than 6-1. So maybe, you know, in the months to come, he might drift out a little bit more.
And Brendan, a word on the development of Frankie Dettori's ban. We mentioned earlier that Buick's going to be on Crystal Ocean. What did you make of that whole incident?
Well, it's just the nature of the rules in England and Ireland, and now France, of course, unbelievably, the French have decided to come over to our way. It's basically the only industry I can see where the health and safety regulations are written for the customer rather than the employees. I mean, how they're let get away with this stuff. You see, the problem is it's basically reactive. Because the horse caused so much damage and it looked terrible, it's 10 days. But you see this every day. And maybe it doesn't hit the horse at quite that angle, so you don't see so much damage. I just think that the whole thing in the way they steward racing in England, Ireland, and now France is a shambles. And I think that it's something. I mean, it's a terrible thing to say, but it makes a dangerous workplace more dangerous. That can't be a good thing.
Okay, expand on that a little bit then. So what would you do in this situation? How would you police it differently?
I'd disqualify horses. I wouldn't do this business of basically, oh, well, the best horse won. It was pricking its ears at the end. And I mean, there's some unbelievable terminology around it. I don't know if you've ever been horse riding, Matty. I went for one lesson and they didn't even have to tell me that you steer with the reins. I could work that out on my own. And you see these things, oh, he pulled a stick through. But you don't steer with the stick. Put the stick down and pull the horse on the side that you want them to go to. But the jockeys have no incentive to do that, because if they just murder the other horse, they'll get a ban, but they'll keep the race. So that can't be right. But well, maybe it can, because the French, who would be against that, formerly would be against that and would lend itself to a more safe riding environment, they've changed now. So maybe I'm totally wrong, but I think it's just it's a very dangerous situation, and if some jockey gets a bad fall and gets broken up, what have you, it's like, oh, well, it's just one of those things. But I definitely think they could police it better, and it would be less likely to happen.
Very, very interesting points there. Watsy, would you be in agreement, or do you think our rules are okay as they stand?
No, I think I would be in agreement. I think jockeys take calculated risks these days, knowing that, you know, if they win by, you know, half a length or more, then they're going to keep the race, whatever. And yeah, they might cop a ban, but, you know, so what? I've won the race. Connections will be happy. Blah blah blah. You'd stop it in an instant if you said, you know, if this kind of thing happens, then you lose the race. And, you know, it's a similar thing, I suppose, in similar analogy in football, players that backchat the ref and swear at him and all that kind of stuff. If you sent players off instantly for doing that, then it would stop immediately. If you gave a hefty punishment of losing the race for jockeys, that would stop too. So, you know, it's kind of, there's an easy answer there. It's just whether they're bold enough to want to go and do it.
Okay, as promised, Brendan, we will now go to the Gigaset International Stakes, the big handicap on Saturday. Any strong thoughts on this? Has there been one that's been particularly well backed so far?
Just looking here, I see Maxime is 14 to 1 into eights. I see George of Hearts is 14 to 1 into nines, but unfortunately he won't get in. He'd win, but he's a typical trio. And Burnt Sugar, of course, on the back of the Bunbury Cup, 40s to 12s. So
they're the ones that. Can you give us a roll call of the top of the market?
Oh, certainly. 8 to 1 Maxime, 9 to 1 George of Hearts, 10 to 1 Flaming Spear, 12 to 1 brings in Arbalet, Burnt Sugar, Firmament, Il Primo Sole, Multasim, Sabador, and it's 14 to 1 bar.
I'm loving these roll calls. Very, very poetically done, Brendan.
Thanks, Freddy.
Which horse is taking your eye at this stage?
Well, of course, unfortunately, the Georgia Hearts won't get in, the usual three-year-old conundrum. So Flaming Spear is solid out, isn't he? The only thing is, whether you back him now, you're going to be getting extra places on the day. He's probably not going to be much shorter than 10 to 1. But I thought that was a perfectly good comeback in the Royal Hunt Cup. And comeback may be the operative word. I thought he just blew up slightly and then ran on at the end. He loves quick ground. He's very solid in these big handicaps. I thought he was sure to run well.
Another Tony Bloom handicap winner, is it then?
Yeah.
He's been a bit in and out throughout his career, Flaming Spear, hasn't he? Do you think he's sort of got it all together now?
Really, I just have to have a look here. Maybe I've I thought he was fairly reliable, but I might be talking through my rear there. So he's been pretty good in the top handicaps, hasn't he? Since he went into, did he run up a sequence in all the all weather? And then what's he done since? Sorry, I'm just
I think he has had some problems throughout his career, but he is definitely on the right page now, so to speak.
No, you make a fair point. He was 9th, 1st, 8th, 14th. Yeah, you make a fair point, actually. I might have slightly overestimated his consistency, but I'll stick with him, though.
We'll stick with him, though. What's the international handicap?
Yeah, I've got quite a big fancy here. It's a horse I mentioned before, so it won't surprise you. Il Primo Sole, Brendan mentioned 12 to 1. I think he ran in the Britannia last time, finished 5th behind Astilio. Threatened to get involved, never quite did, and I thought he was kind of treading water a little bit in the final furlong. And so I think the drop back to 7 furlongs will really suit him, and he was a good winner at Kempton earlier in the season, beat a horse called Major Partnership easily over 7 furlongs. Got a lot of speed, and he loves this quick ground as well. And Gosden ran him in the French Guineas earlier in the season as well, so you must think a bit of him. I think he's got one of these in him, and I think 7 furlongs and straight track at Ascot will suit him ideally. And he showed enough in that race last time, like I said, behind Astilio, to think that drop back slightly in trip, I think, will suit him, and I think it'll go very well.
Yep, so that's Watsy's fancy for the international handicap at Ascot this weekend. We'll talk about some of the anti-post races for Goodwood just after this.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Monday Postcast. Now here's a timely reminder that we'll be doing daily postcasts from the track at Goodwood next week. Watsy, we're just going to have an early look at some of the races now, the Sussex Stakes being the first one. It's a bit of a really interesting division this. We've got Without Parole coming through, got some of the older milers, Beat the Bank, redeemed himself at Ascot. Where do you stand with it?
I'd be without parole, which kind of makes me poacher turn gamekeeper in a way, because I was dead against him before Ascot. I didn't think a lot of his Heron Stakes win at Sandown earlier in the season. I know the ground was a bit dodgy that night, you know, it had a bit of rain. So I was a bit kind of unsure about him going into Ascot. I thought there might be something to beat him, but I thought he won very nicely indeed there. And it kind of changed my opinion of the horse. Gosden said he wanted, you know, nice quick ground and he didn't get that sand and that's why he struggled. And it looked as though that was the case because he won quite comfortably at Ascot. And you
he had
know,
to go for home a long way out, didn't he? So he did well to stick on.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot to take from it. He did much better than I was expecting. So ground conditions obviously haven't changed since Ascot. We're still sun-baked, dry, fast ground, which is what he seems to like. And he is the one... it's a bit of a cliche, but he's the one that's going forward at the right time. He's starting to look the real article, I thought, from that Ascot run last time. So I'm keen to stick with him.
OK, Without Parole, the one for Watsy then. Brennan, have you had a close look at the Sussex Stakes yet?
Well, I found it very hard to look past With Parole. Just wins, doesn't it?
That was nice and concise. What does the betting say?
6 to 4 With Parole, 5 to 1 Beat the Bank and Gustav Glimpt, 8-1 Lightning Spear, 10-1 brings in Lord Glitters, Rhododendron and Wooden, and it's 14's bar.
And why do you think that we can't look past Without Parole then? Similar to Watsy, very impressed with his Ascot run?
Hugely impressed. I mean, he chased too fast a pace and he was in front too soon. He won despite a bad ride. And what does he have to beat? I mean, everyone thought the Queen Anne was the rubbish race going into it. I don't think anyone thought it was any better coming out of it. I mean, Gustav Klimt got an optimal ride in Ascot and couldn't beat him. So what are you left with? There's nothing in the race can beat him.
Mm. And of course, US Navy flag. What's his friend went out and won the July Cup. So that gives Without Parole's form a little bit of a boost, albeit he probably wasn't ridden to win that day. Moving on, we'll have a look at the Goodwood Cup now. Brendan, can you take it away with the betting whenever you're ready?
8-13 Stradivarius, 5-1 Torcedor, 10-1 Idaho, 12-1 Withhold, 14-1 Call to Mind, 14-1 Southern France, and 16's bar.
Now, as our Irish correspondent here, Brendan, what's your thoughts on them stepping Idaho up in trip? Is he good enough to give it a good go at this level?
Well, it's certainly worth an experiment because he's kind of a bit stuck where he is. So it's worth a look. He's a very free sweater, but he settles quite well in his races. So you'd imagine that would give him a chance. I think they're just running out of options with him, and maybe he could turn into a cup horse. So it's worth a go, but he's up against the top notcher in the Fav here.
Yeah, what did you take of Stradivarius's Ascot win? Obviously, he came out of it and he wasn't quite right, but doesn't that mean he did exceptionally well to win in the circumstances?
Oh, well said, Maddie. An absolute warrior of the turf, this horse. He pulled a shoe off or something, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I mean, he just ran through the pain barrier. He's a lot of ability and he's even more heart. And that is a very difficult combination to beat.
We mentioned the St. Ledger earlier on in the piece when you were talking about Crystal Ocean. This, of course, another horse to come out of that race. Watsy, do you think he can be beaten?
No, he shouldn't be beaten. I mean, obviously, it's a different task to the one that faced him last year when he was getting all the weight concessions and that kind of thing. But he's improved accordingly. Both his races this season very, very nicely indeed. And he beat a really good field at Ascot. There was no hiding place there. And he had, you know, Order of St. George, another warrior, you know, well held in fourth then. Travelled really well throughout the race. And, you know, now he's obviously proven around Goodwood, which can be a tricky track for some. So it's a short price, but he's by far the most likely winner.
And he's got that speed. He was a good three-year-old last year. He could contest races over a mile and a half. So that's bound to help him, isn't it? Now, a race that you might not be so confident on, you two. I'm trying to catch you out a bit because you've given me very straightforward answers to the first two races. But the Stewards' Cup, Brendan, have you had one on your radar for this for a while, or is it all just a very complicated mess at the moment?
I was a little bit surprised at the price of Emblazoned, just because he's a three-year-old who's going to get into one of these races. Maybe I haven't seen any quotes from Johnny G to suggest he's not going, and he could have run in the Bunbury Cup. He'd have got into that. I know that's 7 furlongs, but I think he'd be okay at 7 furlongs. So I imagine he's going to go to this, and if he wins it, then maybe think about Haydock, which he's entered in the sprint there, the Group One. So I just thought if he ran, he'd be favourite. Just with the profile of a three-year-old who gets into these, only had 5 runs. I know the Commonwealth Cup has taken a couple of knocks, but it was still a Group One, and now he's in a handicap, and he's only had 5 runs. I think he's going to run, and I don't think he can be 14-1, so he'd be the bet for me.
Very, very interesting point. Who's favourite, and how do the rest bet?
Oh, sure. Dreamfield is the 8-1 Bav, 10-1 Spring Loaded, 12-1 Bacchus Encrypted, and Tis Marvellous, 14-1 Culturati, Emblazoned, Equilateral, Foxtrot Lady, Savalas, and 16-1 bar.
Yeah, Watsy, Dreamfield, very much the talking horse out of the Wokingham, and then, of course, Bacchus, who was a little bit unlucky and didn't really have his way on Saturday. What would your take out of those horses be in the Stewards' Cup?
I was quite drawn to Foxtrot Lady, actually. Winner at Newmarket last time out, good winner. And trainers tend to be creatures of habit slightly. And Dancing Star, I think, won the equivalent race 2 years ago before Andrew Balding sent her to the Stewards' Cup and won. Foxtrot Lady was, I thought, was very impressive that day. I thought she won very nicely indeed. And she'd be top of my list at the moment. Dreamfield, I'm not quite sure. yeah, obviously he ran really, really well in the Wokingham, and then he rolled the dice and slung him in the July Cup, and it didn't quite work out that day. So it's two quick runs in quite a short space of time. So not quite sure. Obviously, this, you know, you'd think it'd be easier going back into handicap company, and it would be, but you know, it's not to say there's some pretty dangerous horses lurking around as well, and it's never quite as straightforward as that. In big handicaps, as he showed in the Woking, because the betting suggested he was going to win comfortably and he got turned over. So, you know, it's not easy to win these. But Foxtrot Lady would be the one for me. I'm sure, you know, Andrew Balding's targeted that race from quite a long time ago.
Yeah, indeed. And Dreamfield, perhaps he still has that little bit left to prove. Brendan, now moving on, I know you've got some horses you want to talk about that have been your eye catchers over the past couple of days.
Yes, I've got a roll call of eye catchers, if you'll indulge me, Maddie. Last Thursday in Leopards. Thank you. Last Thursday in Leopardstown, a horse of Jer Lyons, Dumerez, ran in an auction maiden, good-looking son of Elzam, who gets good-looking stock, in fairness. It was a half-decent auction maiden, and he fell out of the traps, made ground very wide on the bend, finished fifth. There were nothing got into it from off the pace. He went as close as anything, and he should go close to win the maiden the next day. I was down in Killarney last week, and I saw a filly win a maiden called Iridesa, from the first crop of Ruler of the World. Again, very, very impressive specimen, this filly. She looks like a colt. And she must have run to a pretty big figure to beat Cardini by four lengths. He was fifth in the Chesham. So she's a filly going places. They're also in the Curra at the weekend. There was one of John Ox's finished sixth in a maiden called Softly Strong. See the stars, filly, green as grass, pretty clueless early, last for most of the race. Made eye-catching late gains into sixth. She'll go close in a maiden, possibly up in trip the next day. And there was one other one. Oh, yes, you want to be sticking 11-year-olds in your tracker, of course, because they've got a future. There's one called Here for the Crack, who finished third in a handicap over a mile and a half at the Curra, got minimal assistance from the saddle. He's about a stone lower than he was on the flat this time last year. I'd imagine they're looking at Galway, and under stronger handling, he can go close.
That was perfect. Thanks very much, Brendan. On that note, that should do us for today. Don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, please rate, review and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. We'll be back with another golf postcast on Wednesday, where Bruce and co will look back at the Open, and we'll have our Friday postcast with an in-depth look at the race cards at Ascot. Until next time, goodbye.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.